And we are back with our usual programs after our US Energy Special episode. But don't worry, you won't be bored. We will have a look at the latest movements in the dry freight markets that will make the milk curdle in the team of most commodity market traders. We also get the latest updates on the iron ore and finish with the significant rally in crude oil, which has hit levels not seen since October 2023. More on this in today's episode of Freight Up.
Freight Up!
Hello and welcome back to Freight Up. My name is Davide, and I will be your host as we navigate the seas of freight and commodities. We will start with a roundup of the latest commodity news, and then we are joined by Ben Klang for dry freight, Hao Pei on iron ore, and Archie Smith on fuel oil. But let's start with a roundup of the latest commodity and macro news. New orders for manufactured durable goods in the United States rose by 1.4% month over month in February 2024, surpassing market expectations of a 1.1% increase and after a downwardly revised 6.9% fall in January. It appears that Russia has started providing oil directly to North Korea, going against UN sanctions. According to satellite images shared by the Financial Times by the Royal United Service Institute, at least five North Korean ships have traveled to Russia to acquire oil. The collapse of the Baltimore Bridge may have some important trade implications. According to some initial estimates, the cost of rebuilding the bridge may be over $600 million, but the port is closed for all maritime and road traffic until further notice. All incoming and outgoing maritime traffic will have to be rerouted, and this may trigger supply chain disruptions. And just when you thought that the dry FFA market might be taking a breather, it snaps back the other way. The Capesize have gone down 25%, dropping significantly week on week. Again, we see why this market has been labeled the widowmaker. With movements like that, something as we shall explore later, has also been seen in the futures market as well as in the index. The Panamax index was less dramatic, with a move down of 17.8%, taking some of the negative sentiment from the larger ships. Supras and Handysize were relatively non-movers compared to the other index, week on week, with the Supramaxes up 1.81% and the Handysize down 0.4%. On the iron ore side, we edge ever closer to that $100 level, with a 62% index printing at $104.20. And on the fuel oil side, we see the Sing 380 going up like $1.17. Or plus 0.2%, while the Sing 5 is going down $6.26, equal to 1%. And now let's talk about dry freight with Ben Klang. Ben, how are you doing today?
Davide, very nice, thank you. Spring has finally come to Copenhagen, and Copenhagen, as you know, has probably the worst winter in Europe. It's plus 1 degrees and horizontal rain. So we're really happy that we're seeing lighter times here.
Oh, wow, it feels like it's even worse than London. And it's sunny here today too. So we're both lucky. But we are actually all ears, and it's not about only the weather, but we also want to hear what's your take on the week that has just passed in the dry freight market.
We saw the Baltic Dry Index fell last week after 6 consecutive weeks of gain. And this was mainly due to poor cargo demands and growing tonnage list in the Atlantic for the Cape and the Panamaxes. But, you know, in normal order, let's start with the roller coaster that is the Cape FFA market. You know, after a quiet Monday last week, we really started to see some drama on Thursday as early buying saw the April contract trade as high as 35,600. From this high came sharp selling, with April trading down to low 27,000s by Wednesday. We did then see a strong rally on Thursday, with April trading up to 30.5 at close. And then before a quiet end to the week on Friday, and to then this week, see rates quickly moving south with April. I just looked now, closing last night at 23,000. Over to the Panamaxes, we had a really similar starts as the Capes. We saw some positive early moves on April, which traded up to 20,650, and Q2 trading up to 19.5 in the beginning of last week. Rates then came under pressure midweek, with April sold down to 18,000 and Q2 traded down to 17,250 in good size. Thursday saw April trading up to 18.5, while May traded up to 18,850 and June up to 17,000 to then see some range-bound activity and then followed by a quiet Friday. On Monday this week, April printed initially at 17,750 to then quickly traded down to 17,000, Q2 down to 16,800. And then at yesterday's close, we saw softer numbers with April at 15,350 and Q2 at 15,850. Lastly, the Supermaxes rates did see some early last week support with April and Q2 traded up to 16,750 and 16,600. And Q2 traded up to 15,4, a tick up from prior Friday's close. Tuesday, we saw April trade a tick softer at 16.5, while Q3 traded at 15.5. As always, focus on the prompt, but also on Wednesday, we saw that with April and Q2 traded at 15.750 and 15.550, respectively. Thursday saw minimal movement, to then on Friday, we saw April trading down to 15.1, which is 600 lower than from Thursday's close. And then on the Q2, that traded down to 15,200. This week opened to a quieter market as April traded approximately $300 lower than Friday's close and stayed pretty range-bound throughout the day. And then to see both April and Q2 closing on a softer territory at 14,350 yesterday.
In terms of like volumes, what do you think, how did the past week look like?
Not surprisingly, the market started with comparatively low volume on Monday, but with the price movement that we outlined earlier, it was not a big surprise that we saw trading volume pick up midweek. On average, Cape and Panamax's futures traded at 7,100 lots and 5,740 lots per day, respectively. Supermaxes followed behind with an average of 1,940 lots traded daily. On the option side, attention remained on the Panamaxes with 3,700 lots cleared last week. And meanwhile, on the Capes option, we also saw decent activity with 1,440 lots cleared. As trading volume surged on the larger vessels, open interest increased alongside sharply falling prices. As of yesterday, March 25th, open interest on Cape 5TC stood at 187,181 lots, and that's up 5,700 week on week. Panamax's 4TC at 188,624 lots, and that's up 4,120 week on week, and on Supras 10TC, 89,788 lots, and that's up 1,620 week on week.
Thank you very much, Ben, for your weekly update on the dry freight market.
Thank you.
And now let's talk about iron ore with Haopay. I have the first question for you, which is, guess what, about the iron ore market. So do you expect any directional change in the short run?
That is a high frequently asked question when the market is actually worrying. But if the market is quite volatile, people won't ask you. As we discussed with a lot of banks and brokers during the past 2 weeks, the volatility of iron ore increased after a 7-month inclination and 2 months of big correction. And now we believe a full round of cycle ended for iron ore, but iron ore entered a small or even midterm neutral sentiment period instead. Well, traders started to become more cautious by making any directional decision. I feel the same way. The answer for this question is as simple as no. I don't see any like clear directional change, at least for now. But in fact, I saw some spread opportunities, which will be discussed in question two, probably. But no idea on the direction so far, as I said. But from fundamental, pig iron saw near 3% decrease than past Q1 on a year basis. But we expect a slight catch up in April and May. So a slow recovery normally subject to a narrow room on price level in both ways. and port stocks were too high. Given 2 to 3 weeks of piling up, it could create historical level seasonally in mid-April. Fundamental is still bearish, to be honest, admit, we have to say. But it's dangerous to build aggressive position on the short side after 20% correction as well, and still in the busy housing season.
Okay, so we spoke about the short run, and in terms of like the long run strategies, anything in the market happening right now?
Yep, I think first of all, the outright level looked very, very neutral to me, as I said in the last question. But even a 95 to 115 would give enough room to look out for directional trade. But if we also put rolling into consideration, however, I think month spread from May, June 24 was too flat, which should be undervalued at this time. The Q2 demand would pick up slightly late, but not totally missing. The pickup should be slow. That's why traders were trying to shift back positions, which caused a flat structure nowadays. But when the structure is already there, I mean, it's already flat, why don't we try to think about the opposite way? At least start to build some of the long spreads. And second of all, I think the MB 65 versus Platts 62 averaged at $12.4 in March, which was almost similar to 12.6 in February. But the supply in Brazil is always tighter than Australia from Q1. This is potentially not fully written in the stories of this particular spread. I think there could be more stories about the supply side going on in April and May. And moreover, I think with seasonal recovery of China's physical steel margin, given more acceptance on the high-grade furnace. Like I said, these are long-run opportunities from my perspective. We might not see a quick change in the short run for those spreads, but it's worth considering for as a long-run trend.
And now let's talk about fuel oil with Archie Smith. We've seen like that crude rallied the last week to some levels that we haven't seen since October 2023. What do you think that are the factors that are support, they're offering some support to the prices in this moment?
It's very multifaceted. We hit levels not seen since October. The recent high has been kind of 87.70 in the front Brent future, which is, it was good to kind of see Brent break out of the top band of the range that we've seen for the majority of the year, really. Lots of things to look at, I'd say mainly one being the Ukrainian drone strikes on Russian oil infrastructure. I think there's been 7 or 8 hits so far on refineries, rigs, et cetera, and that's really kind of providing some tightness in supply from Russia, especially kind of on the heavier crude side of things, as well as some products. Another thing also kind of came up at the beginning of this week was the potential for the US to reinstate sanctions on Venezuela. Just before the turn of the year, there were talks, obviously, well, and actually kind of happened. The US were lifting their oil sanctions on Venezuela, kind of as a political play, kind of regarding elections. So yeah, basically, as soon as that news dropped, again, adding some support to prices. I don't think that's a major thing to look at because, I mean, even when the sanctions were first announced a few months ago that they were going to get lifted, you know, that's the kind of thing that it takes, you know, at least a year to actually see physical supply get back there. That's not kind of an instant change thing anyway. So I wouldn't say that's one of the more important points. I think another thing that's kind of adding some support to the prices is the OPEC cuts. You know, they kind of said that they were cutting for Q2 of this year. It seems that as though there's a lot more unity in the group now. The cuts at the end of last year kind of seemed very slapdash. It seemed like some people didn't agree. Well, that was the case. Some people, you know, some of the members didn't want to do it. Some members did. It was a bit, you know, all over the place. Whereas now, you know, they kind of seem more unanimous. I think the market's definitely feeling a little bit of a squeeze from the OPEC output cuts.
Okay. Yeah. And then as always for the OPEC cuts, we will have to a little bit like wait and see and then like how the market is pricing.
Exactly. I mean, you know, another thing is they've got a meeting coming up and it's very much expected that it'll be a quick, brief meeting and no changes to be made to any kind of quotas. I think they're kind of, by the sounds of it, the ministers are happy with how it's going, are happy with the output, and it's going to remain this way for the next meeting.
Also, another thing that like we have mentioned here is that like we have seen like some a little bit of like softness in the front of the very low sulfur fuel oil curve this week. Is that correct?
Yes, we have. So particularly yesterday, actually, the front cracked more so in the Sing, the Singapore very low sulfur fuel oil, the front cracks softened by about 50 cents and the front spread, the April May spread, just the difference in price between the April contract and the May contract. They both came off quite significantly. April May spread is trading around 275, which is down about $4 on the week and down about $2 since the beginning of, well, since Monday. Normally this spread, the April May Sing spread is not that tight. Yeah, kind of 250, very narrow margin there. And I think a lot of that just comes from Platts pricing and settlement numbers coming in a lot lower than the market is expecting. Mm. I mean, you know, that's what I've heard from a few people I've asked. They've said that, yeah, basically it's pricing in, the April Singapore is pricing in much lower than people, what people are thinking, and they can't really get their head around it. And that's why we've kind of seen weakness in the crack, weakness in the spreads. It certainly looks like it could still go that way. Although, you know, that being said, it is turn of the month in a few days. So yeah, I mean, what else to report on today? I mean, we've had a few of the kind of end user shipping guys sniffing around Cal 26, 7.5, mm-hmm. Cal 25. So we're looking at some more long dated stuff, few interests there, you know, people to look in, looking to lock in some long dated hedges there. But yeah, other than that, all good in the hood.
And then we're eyeing in the long weekend for Easter.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm quite looking forward to that. I'll make a quick point. Tomorrow, if anyone is looking at to get anything hedged or any trades locked in, it's early European window. So we shut at around 12:30. Liquidity will dry up, well, from kind of 12 to 1. I think that's your last chance. So half day for us tomorrow.
Last chance to get it done.
Yes, last thing to get any trades in, any exposure you might have to cover.
Before we get into like our Easter eggs and
exactly, you know, I've already been well into the Easter eggs. I'm not waited. Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Archie. Have a good one.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers. And that's it for this week. Make sure to subscribe by clicking on the subscribe button on wherever you get your podcast from. Also, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn or get signed up to our app FIS Live to make sure you never miss any freight and commodity analysis from FIS. We'll be taking a short break for the Easter holiday, but we will be back again with you shortly. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope to see you again soon on our next episode of Freight Up.